June 6th, 2013, Denver, Colorado, evening program at the Dharma Den.
Tasmai Shri Gurave Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasa Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Om Premanande Hari Bo. So I'm very happy to be here in the Dharma Den tonight. And there's a lot of other kinds of dens. Living entities have certain habits according to how they're conditioned by the modes of nature. And there are certain kinds of animals that live in dens. But people in their house, they also have dens. When they real estate agent sells the house, it's an extra plus if you have a den. I don't know exactly what you're supposed to do in a den normally, but bears, I don't know, bears live in a lair, don't they? What other kind of animals live in a den? Badgers live in a den. Yeah, the den in people's house, usually it's sort of a multi-purpose room where they can play checkers and I don't know what else. Just kind of hang around in the den. But this is the Dharma Den. Does anybody have a dictionary on them? You could look it up, what the word den actually means. Good to know what we're doing here. But it's natural. Everyone gathers together in certain places for association. There are all kinds of associations also all over the world. People form associations because it's a natural fact that when we are close to other people, we take on their qualities. What does den mean?
A hollow or cavern used especially as a hideout.
A hollow or cavern?
Used especially as a hideout.
We got it. We're hiding out from Maya. Okay.
A center of secret activity.
Yes. Yes. Okay. We're hiding out. It's a secret. We're fomenting revolution in here. A revolution of the heart, which will expand into the world. That's a fact. And what else? There's more.
A small, usually squalid dwelling. Squalid.
All right, we won't get into the squalid part. But
a comfortable, usually secluded...
This is an upgraded den. Secluded.
A comfortable, usually secluded room.
Very nice. Okay, so it's secret, and it's for...
Hideout.
It's a hideout. A secret hideout. It's good. So we're having a hideout here tonight. And but as I was saying, there are many kinds of associations, so that people can have association. And in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna talks about the importance of association, a word in Sanskrit, which is similar to this word, we could relate it, is sangha. So anga means a part, and sa-anga, when you put the two parts together, you get sangha. They come together. Sangha. So we're small parts of the whole. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that we're parts of him, we're small, fragmental parts of consciousness. And that according to our sangha, this is the science of Krishna consciousness, has to do with sangha. That as we associate, we become. In the Gita he says, Purusha prakriti sohi bhunte prakriti jangunam Karanam guna sangosya sarasad yoni janmasu. So sarasad means good and bad. That means we get good and bad kinds of situations in this world according to how we've associated ourselves. And we become like that. He says this is the real cause of our of who we are in the world. Purusha Prakriti Stohi. So first, Purusha means us. We're not actually, in Sanskrit, the word Purusha means the enjoyer. And in this verse in the Bhagavad Gita, it means us, the living entities, we're not the ultimate enjoyer. Krishna is the ultimate enjoyer, but we're acting as an enjoyer while we're in this world, in the body. So that's sort of a play on words. Purusha Prakriti Stohi. And sto means to be situated somewhere. It's very similar to the word stand. In fact, it's that's where the word stand comes from. Sta. Where you stay. Everyone has to stay somewhere. Everyone has to be situated somewhere. So Purusha Prakriti Stohi, the person, the living entity, is situated somewhere in this material nature. Purusha Prakriti Stohi Bhunkte Prakriti Jangunan, and is enjoying. Bhunkte Prakriti Jangunan, enjoying nature. Karanam Gunasangosya, and the way he's able to enjoy nature and the kinds of bodies he or she gets in this world and the kinds of situations one after another one gets are due to, Krishna says, Sangha, to how we've associated. He says this is the karanam, the cause of our various situations. So if anybody ever wondered, how did I get in this situation? You can look at your past association. And because of that kind of association, whatever association you had, that will develop your consciousness. It will develop, you'll get thoughts, and the thoughts will lead to actions, and the actions will lead to habits, and your habits will lead to your destination. That's how we're propelled throughout the world, according to Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. So coming to a den where there's dharma being discussed is a good idea. Just by association, we can improve ourselves. And that's the entire idea of the what we call the shastras or the scriptures. Say scriptures or shastra. So shastra is a nice word because it has a dual meaning. If you change the word a little bit. So there's shastra, which means scripture. And what does that mean? It means somebody's talking to us. If we're listening. If we're open. If we have an appreciating capacity to listen. That is, the Vedas say that if we're done with what's in this world, if we're done looking around here, the material world's a place everyone comes and looks around and they loiter. Just like at 7-Eleven, they have signs outside that say, no loitering. And the material world should have a big sign that says, no loitering. Can you look up loitering? Prabhupada uses this term sometimes in his books. He says, the living being has come to loiter in the material world. And what does it mean?
Loiter means to delay an activity with idle stops and pauses. To remain in an area for no obvious reason.
To remain in an area. There you go. To remain in an area for no obvious reason. So we're looking around, looking for some kind of action here in the material world, and loitering. So after one's loitered here in the material world and figures out that there's nothing here for me, nothing to see here, nothing more to do here, it's all been done. It was that lyric, it's all been done and more. I think George Harrison wrote that lyric. It's all been done and more. I like that. It's all been done and more. Whatever you're doing, somebody's already done it before. They've done it much more than you have. And they still didn't get the result. And if you take all the kinds of experiences that people think are going to lead to happiness in the material world and you collect them all into one, little vial or something like that, and you inject it, you still won't be happy. In fact, Prahlad Maharaj says, the minute you start thinking about your own happiness, that's when you start to feel discomfort and dissatisfaction. Like, how am I going to be happy? Because it's not our dharma to think like that. It's off kilter. When we think about how to serve Krishna, that's our dharma. Then we feel satisfied. Even when we start thinking about it, even if we can't do it yet, we just think, I'd like to do that, even though I'm not capable of yet, because I have so much momentum from my past association that's carrying me into all these various situations that I don't want to be in anymore, But you have a growing sense of, and I have a growing sense in my heart that what I really want to do is serve Krishna. There's a beautiful verse written in the Padyavali by Rupa Goswami about the soul awakening to this idea that I don't want to loiter here anymore. There's nothing for me in this material world. Not only that, I've been cheated. I've cheated myself. Kamadinam katina katita palita duranideshas tesham jata mayina karuna natrapa no pashandi utsridai tanata yarupate samprata labdha buddhis tamayata sharanam abhayam am niyukshvatmatasye. So this awakening soul says, for how long and how many ways have I served the bad masters of my senses? They've never given me mercy. They've never given me time off. And I never questioned them. But no more. Now my intelligence is awakened. I've decided that there's nothing more for me here in this material world. I'm not looking for anything here. And now I'm looking in a different direction. I want to serve Krishna. I want personal service to Krishna. Utsri Jayatanata Yadupate. He names Krishna Yadupate, the Lord of the Yadus, a very personal name of Krishna. Samprata Labdha Buddhis. I've gained my intelligence. My intelligence is awakened now. And now, he said, I'm approaching Krishna and I'm saying, please, let me have service to you. So, the scriptures, as I was saying, they're talking to us because we can listen and we can improve ourselves. Otherwise, there wouldn't be any need for scriptures. If there wasn't somebody who could actually act on them, they wouldn't be saying anything. And as I was saying, there are two meanings to the word shastra. So shastra means the scriptures that are speaking to us, telling us how to improve ourselves. And then the word also is derived from shastra. Shastra means a weapon. So shastra and shastra. So if you don't take the shastra, if you don't take the advice how to improve yourself, then you're subjected to shastra. The material world is very mechanical like that. Karma is, we think, it's punishing me, but actually I'm punishing myself. It's sensitivity training. I'm doing something that brings back a result to myself, and I'm punished by it. You know, if you bite your tongue, who can you blame? What's the matter, dear? Bit my tongue. This is karma's like that. You bite your own tongue. And then you become angry. Who are you angry at? You just bit your own tongue. This is the shastra, the weapon of the material nature. It punishes us when we're not in alignment. So the Dharma Den, this is the place, the secret place. We come and hide out. We get realigned with our real purpose, which is service, dedication and service. These are what actually satisfy the souls, what everyone's looking for. Everyone gravitates towards these. When you see it in the world, you go through the newspaper, you hear everyone exploiting. One article says dedication. Everyone says, that's interesting. How do they do that? How did they come to this point of dedicating themselves, of giving up personal self-interest, and now they want to dedicate themselves to others, to do service? It's attractive. It's natural. That's our dharma. And when you elevate that service and put it in the place where it's perfectly reposed, and that is in the perfect person, who's the source of everything, who's the root of everything, then everyone gets satisfied by the service. And when we render that service, it's perfectly rendered and perfectly accepted. Sometimes people can't take what we give. If we give love, sometimes people can't accept it. And unfulfilled love, unrequited love, any good idea, you may express a good idea, but people don't have ears to hear it. But Krishna's all ears. He's all ears to hear our prayers, constantly open to our feelings, our sentiments, and so forth. And why don't I experience reciprocation? It's just I'm not doing it. As soon as I offer with sincere feeling a prayer to Krishna, or I direct my intention towards Krishna, my intention is to serve Krishna, then he immediately gives intelligence from within the heart. And this is another interesting concept, at least I think so, is that your attention follows your intention. They both have the word ten in them. Ten means a connection. Like tendon, it connects the different bones in your body. It holds it muscle. Together, right? The muscle holds the muscle together. Thank you. The muscle to the bone is the tendon. It holds that together. She's a massage therapist. And so ten, it's a connection. It's a holding together. So intention leads to attention. Whatever you intend, you attend. Just the way it is. That's called the way it is. So when as individual souls, or say we have volition. Can you look up the word volition? Because that's another exciting word. Really get you jumping. You think about volition, that you have volition. You have you're a conscious living entity with free choice. And then what is your intention? Now is what is your intention? That will lead to where your attention takes you.
An act of making a choice or decision.
An act of making a choice or decision.
The power of choosing or determining.
The power of choosing or?
The power of choosing or determining.
Of determining?
Yeah.
The power of choosing. We have the power of choice. That's what we have. We have the power of choice. That's our great power. We can make a choice. So, by association, our choices become better informed by good association. And then our intention becomes solidified. Our intention becomes well-defined. I intend to be a servant. I intend to improve myself. And when that's there, then the attention is ready to grab on to those things that will help us to move forward. That includes whatever super soul is saying in the heart. Someone told me the other day, it was Srimukundadatta, the inimitable Srimukundadatta, the pundit. Srimukundadatta, he said, super soul speaks softly and he doesn't often repeat himself. That is, super soul means the Lord in the heart. He's there witnessing our activities and also supplying us intelligence, as he says in the Gita, Sarvasya Chaham Hridi Sannivishto Matak Smriti Gyanam Apohanam Cha, that I'm in everyone's heart. There's a personal form of God in everyone's heart. Shocking. So there he is, and he's actually supplying us intelligence, knowledge, even forgetfulness. So I won't forget God. He gives us the perfect philosophy to expound, to say there is no God and here's why, and I'll write a book about it and so forth. It's all coming from super soul. And for those who are sincere, he says in Bhagavad Gita, I give the knowledge by which they can come to me. And so Srimukundadatta said that he speaks softly, so you got to listen carefully. You can't be too distracted. You have to be more, listen very carefully. This is one of the tenets of yoga. You have to calm the mind so you can hear the super soul speaking to you. Speaks the same language that the Shastras are speaking. In fact, he spoke the Shastra. So he's saying from within and without, like, I can't hear you. You're not listening. Too distracted. But if you listen, but then he said he doesn't often repeat himself. So we should tune our attention towards hearing that, and if our intention is to follow it, then right there we can take it. Take good advice. Then you move in the right direction. Then you can improve. Nothing can stop you from improving. No one can stop you from improving except your own self. This is a great message of the Vedas. Partiva dharano dumas tasmad agnis tri mayaha tamasas tu radas tasmat satvam yad brahmadarshanam. The Vedas say, you by stages, you can just bring yourself, stair-step yourself out of the darkness of the material world, from one improvement to the next. You can keep going. From the dark mode of ignorance that keeps you down on the mat, you hurt yourself, you know you're hurting yourself, but you can't stop. And the mode of passion is like smoke. Smoke disturbs, but it barely doesn't serve very well. And moving about in the world like what is called, like the monkeys. I'll just give you an example. In Vrindavan, there's lots of monkeys. Everyone here who's met the monkeys of Vrindavan? Raise your hand. The monkeys of Vrindavan? Yeah, I'm not talking about the langur monkeys. They're the ones with the big, long, white tail. They're so mellow and nice. If you walk up to them, hand them a banana, they'll go, thank you very much. But the other monkey, Rhesus monkeys, they're like little motorcycle gang or something like that. They sit up and they're looking around. They always want to think, they want how to break something. This is the mode of passion, stay active for no good reason. And in fact, you can't even enjoy the mode of passion, and I'll prove it. The monkeys can't enjoy. Monkeys like bananas. Yes or yes? So, monkeys like bananas. This is one of the great aphorisms of the... So, monkeys like bananas, but they can't enjoy them. They can't enjoy banana, because while they're eating one banana, they're looking around, A, to see if someone's going to steal it, or B, why can't I have the other two bananas the other guy's got? I see this all the time. I watch the monkeys in Vrindavan. In fact, I saw one woman carrying a whole stack of bananas. I think she was planning on feeding them to the monkeys one by one. And these two giant bull monkeys were coming towards her. This is at the fringe of Radha Kund. She was walking out. And she had a big smile on her face. And she was bringing, I'm going to feed the monkeys. And they kept walking towards her like this. And she goes, here. And they go, nuh-uh, not that, the whole thing. And they jumped on her. She just dropped the whole thing, screamed, and ran away. And while they were eating, I saw they had one in one hand they're eating, and the other they're waiting to cram it in their mouth. And they were looking around to see who's going to come and sort of warding off the other monkeys that were coming. Like, no, these are all mine. This is the moment of passion. You can't enjoy them, but it says, Satvamya Brahmadarshan. If you come, you can bring yourself to the next higher mode, which is Satvagun, where you see that you exist, and that's good enough. You don't have to know anything else except that I exist. The mode of passion, I'm thinking, do I exist or don't I exist? Maybe I'll exist, and maybe tomorrow I won't exist. And that's scary. Bhayam dvitiya means I'm full of fear all the time because I think this could be over at any time. But in the mode of goodness, Satvagun, I see I exist, and I always exist. So what's the problem? What else do I need except for the fact that I exist? This is Satvam Yad Brahmadarshanam. I can have a vision of the fact that I exist and I always exist. And I can actually experience that consciousness. Consciousness experiencing itself, that it's eternal. And so this improvement comes step by step. And one can come to this position, and then above, then from the Satvagun, there are many, many possibilities open up. Human life actually is a life of possibilities. It's like when the cage is open for the bird, and then you say, go fly away. You can go out. But then due to conditioning, bird doesn't fly out. He may take a hop step, few steps out, and then jumps back in the cage. But he can fly away free. There's fruit everywhere. He can have it. So in human life, the Vedas are calling to us, saying, now's your chance. Cage is open. Doors open. Not locked, open. You can fly free anytime you want. You can improve yourself as much as you want. No one can stop you. It's open to you. That's why the Vedas are speaking over and over again so loudly. And that's why they come in the form of a book. They come in the form of teachers who are empowered by the whole process of devotional service, saying, no, no, improve yourself. Improve yourself. Don't stay in the material world. And then Krishna is speaking from within. Everyone's working to help the soul in the material world. But then God helps those who help themselves. And Prabhupada once said, helping oneself means putting oneself in front of transcendental sound vibration. You just have to be there. That's one of the other great lessons of spiritual life. Be there. And then winnow out bad association. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was asked, what is a Vaishnav? He said, asat sanga tyag, a Vaishnavachar. A Vaishnav means a devotee, someone who's aspiring to be fixed in this process of bhakti yoga. Someone who gives up bad association. They don't go to the wrong dens. They go to the dharma den, not to the... I don't know, I'm not even going to say what other dens there are. But there are lots of other dens that we can be in. And because of the association of those dens, I take on a certain quality, I think in a certain way, I see the world according to my conditioning. But there is a life beyond conditioning, where there is actually clear vision. Satvam Vishuddham Vasudeva Shabditam. Lord Shiva says, it's pure consciousness. There is such a thing as pure consciousness. This is dharma. The dharma of the living entity, just to come to realize your own pure consciousness, and that you have an eternal occupation. So that's the Dharma Den. Yes?
When I was heard Prabhupada explain that there's Shastra and there's Shastra, and that one means scripture and one means weapon, I was always thinking that it was like, you have the Shastra, but Shastra is also a weapon to cut through illusion.
Yeah.
Is that also like a connection?
Yeah, that's definitely connected there.
Okay. I always assumed that, but I see...
Bejure muniyotagre bhagavantamadhoksajam sattvam vishudam shemaya kalpante inutaniha. This verse, bidite hriya grandish chityante sarvasamshaya shiyante chasikarmani jishte eva manishvare. The Shastra says, or Sutta Goswami says at the outset of the Bhagavatam, that with sword in hand, these devotees, they cut through this knot of karma in the heart by remembering Krishna. And that comes from the Shastra. So the Shastra is a kind of weapon also. Yeah, definitely.
I'm not sure, I don't remember where I heard this, but there was an example that when dharma is protected, the dharma protects. And when dharma is injured, dharma injures. But that just reminded me, because he's saying the other side of it being a weapon. You're seeing a weapon that's like negative, and he's seeing a weapon that's positive. So it almost, I thought that seemed relevant.
Thank you.
It might have been Tushtipu that I heard that.
Did you say that, Tushtipu?
I think that's your hyperbole.
That's right, I just heard that recently.
I was saying.
If you follow dharma, if you observe dharma, then you'll be protected by dharma.
Nice.
You're mentioning increasing the capacity for appreciation.
Yeah.
So how does one do that?
Appreciating capacity. Every living entity has an appreciating capacity. And according to our appreciating capacity, we can take in Krishna's mercy to a greater or lesser degree. Human, just by dint of having a human body, we have a greater appreciating capacity. Lower forms of life, lowered as defined in the Vedas, that they're confined to a certain pattern of actions, and they don't have the developed intelligence to inquire about higher things. So we increase our appreciating capacity, again, by association. That's one thing. When we're in good association, we're able to... imbibe the qualities of those who have a greater capacity than we do. And also by making voluntary life changes, you know, going to volition, because discipline, the word discipline or disciple, it means learner. A learner. When you discipline yourself, when you make the choice to put your attention in a certain way and to keep it there, then you learn something. And when you voluntarily do that and you get the experience, you get some realization, then your appreciating capacity increases. So when you voluntarily agree to take the advice of the Shastra and the spiritual master and Krishna within the heart and so forth, and then you apply it through application and you get realization, then your capacity increases. The more your capacity increases, the more you see that you have capacity. In clouded consciousness, I think that my capacity is limited. People get depressed and think, oh, I can't do anything, I'm no good, and so forth, become morose. But the symptom of a person who's advancing in spiritual life is realizing that I have greater and greater capacity to serve Krishna. And therefore there's a joyfulness that comes from that, of realizing the human form of life, realizing that the cage is open, realizing the only person that's holding me back is myself. That's a nice realization. And then voluntarily taking the steps naturally my appreciating capacity increases. Like if you perform some kind of tapasya, which means that you voluntarily engage your senses in Krishna's service and you delay sense gratification. Like, for instance, sometimes we fast on certain days. We don't do it simply for the sake of austerity. We do it so we can increase our service. But at the same time, there's a way, by performing that austerity, that we get some insight. There's a conversation that goes on. For instance, on a fast day during the breakfast time, the mind and stomach will say, it's time for breakfast. And then you say, not today. It comes from, you know, your determination, your discipline. You're saying, no, I'm today I'm just serving Krishna all day. There's no eating for you today. And then the stomach might say, well, why not? Well, you're going to die, you know. Don't you know? You're going to die from this? And, you know, I've heard people have injured themselves from fasting. My mother told me that she knew somebody who fasted. And so then this conversation goes on. I said, no, I'm going to maintain this. You have some determination. And as you go through the day, the conversation goes on. And then you will get some, you'll feel yourself different from your body because you're having this conversation. You're separated from it. And you realize, oh, I'm happy surfing. And then your capacity increases, you know, from your application of the process. And the next time, you know, you have that deeper realization that I have the capacity to serve more than I did before. Or in chanting also, you can have an experience when you're chanting. Sometimes the mind is blocking the experience of the holy name. But as you persist and you keep bringing the mind back to the mantra and you have an inkling that this is not an ordinary sound, it's a transcendental sound. And then you have a taste for that. Even if it's a minute taste, it increases your capacity. Appreciation in itself is very powerful. The ability to appreciate. Whatever you appreciate, appreciates. And there's a prayer in Queen Kunti, she says, Shrinvanti Gayanti Grananti Sadala. So Grananti means to accept or to appreciate. And that those who appreciate others doing devotional service, they're doing a kind of service. And when you appreciate the service of others, you take on their qualities. Because it opens your heart and you're able to actually take in. You're able to, oh, that's really wonderful what that person's doing. And then you're able to imbibe their qualities, actually. Voltaire said something about that. When you're able to appreciate others' good qualities, then they become yours. On the other hand, if you're envious, and envy means the inability to tolerate the eminence of another. You see someone excelling, and then you think, no, that's terrible. I wish they would fail. And this pinching envy, it closes the heart. And then whatever good quality, whatever advanced quality is in that person, it becomes unavailable to me because my heart closes up. I can't take it. So by learning to appreciate the beautiful qualities in others, especially those who are performing devotional service and improving themselves, then we increase our own appreciating capacity step by step just by practicing that appreciation. Prayers throughout the Bhagavatam are a kind of appreciation. You'll see over and over again, devotees are appreciating other devotees, they're appreciating Krishna. It's one appreciation after another. So we practice the culture of appreciation, we'll become accustomed to it, and we'll also start imbibing what qualities people have. This is implicit in the statement tadvidi pranipathena priprashnena sevaya uparakshanti te jnanam jnaninastapadarshana, that if you want to learn something, go to somebody who knows. And then how should you go there? In a very submissive mood. If you submit to somebody who actually has some deep knowledge, and let's see, it's pranipat means that you go like with your head bowed. like, I don't know anything. Because as the great Mahatma says, everyone knows Mahatma Das, one of the early pioneers of the Hare Krishna movement. Now he travels around the world and he teaches Krishna consciousness. But he says there's three words that block all learning.
I know that.
You're telling me something important and my mind's going like, I already know that. I already learned that before. I know more than you. Wait till you stop talking and I'm going to tell you what I know that's much better than what you're saying now. I can't take it in. So this is Pranipat means, like Rupa and Sanatana Goswami, they went to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and they were so learned and they were so rich and they were so powerful. They had everything. And materially, they went to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and said, we're the lowest, we don't know anything, we're completely ignorant, just tell us how, what spiritual life is. I have no idea who I am, what spiritual life is, I don't know anything. This is Pranipat. Go empty. And then Pranipat, Sevaya. It means that you should render service, because when you render service to a person who's a great soul, it melts their heart. And when it's in their heart, it runs out to you. Bhurijan Prabhu said that one time. And that the heart of a great person has treasures. There are great treasures in there. So by service, if you render unmotivated service to somebody, if you do service to somebody, they naturally want to reciprocate, because they'll think, what can I do? What can I give back? So tadvidi pranipatina, priprashnina. Oh, and then ask questions, because questions are powerful. The question mark is the most powerful punctuation mark in any language, because it means you get something back. It's like a hook. If you ask questions all the time, you know, you get so much. If you don't ask, hey, what can we say? Well, you don't have to answer. If you write a 10-page letter to somebody and you don't include a question mark, they're not really obligated to write you back. But if you throw in one question mark, they got to write you back. So if you ask relevant questions to a person who knows, that means you're sober-minded and you really want to find out the right thing, and you ask them, then through these ways, you'll increase your appreciating capacity and you'll be able to take in their knowledge. Yes?
What's a concrete example of rendering service?
Well, if somebody's thirsty, you get them a glass of water. And, you know, there's different ways. If you're really attentive in service, you notice what people's likes and dislikes are, and then you cater to them. You become one with them in their desire. You realize what their desire is, and then you become one with that desire, because you say, I want to serve that person. So to serve a person, you have to know what they like. If someone brings you something you don't like, it's not really... I mean, maybe the feeling is there. But if someone just, like, I don't know, there's this thing of re-gifting. People get a gift and they think, I don't want this. Who can I dump it on, you know? So they wrap it up and say, and then you realize that was a re-gift. They really didn't care. They didn't take any thought in this kind of, there was no consideration of my desire. You know, what kind of gift is that? But if someone figures out, oh, I know exactly what this person likes, and they go out of their way to get it, and they bring it to you, from the Himalayan mountains, like, here's that special spice you use for cooking. It's like, here it is. And how'd you know? Because I'm one with your desire. I'm tuned into your desire, and I'm one with your desire. That's real service. If you realize what their desires are. It's powerful. You actually, you know, to serve another person, you have to serve their desires. You have to see what they want. And if you're serving pure devotees, you realize they have pure desires. So you're doing devotional service by serving them. And this is actually the way to advance in devotional service. Shushusho shodadhanasya vasudeva kataruchi syan mahatsevaya vipra punyatirta nishevana. The Shastra says that when you serve the great souls, it's the best kind of service. And by that, you'll gain an affinity for Krishna consciousness, especially hearing and chanting about Krishna. Was that clear? Thanks for the question. It was really nice.
You're talking about practicing that culture of appreciation.
Yes.
And I was also connecting it to this whole concept of I know that, and how you practice that culture of appreciation, and how you rid yourself of that. Because even you want to, I guess it's when you're talking about, like, you set your intention, and then your attention focuses on that.
It's good. Well, one thing is humility. Yeah. You have to be humble. You miss everything when you're not humble. That's the problem. And that's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Shikshashtakam is the key verse, Trinadapi Sunichena. Even Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, this is our main verse. Just concentrate on this. When people would come to him and say, I want to know higher topics, I want to know this, I want to know that, I said, here's your verse. Take this verse. Trinadapi Sunichena, Purorati Vasu Hishnina, Amanina Maradena, Kirtaniya Sadahari. Is that everything's in this verse, and it can be described, there's four jewels in this verse. That you become humble like straw in the street. It means, Dronacharya, he asked Duryodhana, go out and find somebody who's better than you. It's part of his training. So he went out and looked around the whole world and came back. And he said, I can't find anybody. And then he asked Yudhishthira. Yudhishthira went out and he told him the opposite. He said, find somebody that's lower than you. And he went out and looked. He came back and said, I don't find anybody in the world lower than me. And so this kind of feeling, you can, if you have that, you can learn from everybody. And then Trinadapi Sunichena. And then this, like the tree, become tolerant. This is a very powerful practice to tolerate, because you have plenty of opportunities. There's always an opportunity to tolerate, because no one can say, like, well, I can't do my sadhana. Just do it wherever you are. Tolerate. Tolerate whatever happens. When somebody dies in your family, God, does that hurt. Even if you're a devotee and you're practicing for many years, it hurts when somebody close to you dies. And they're just gone. All of a sudden, your mind's running over a cliff. Where'd they go? They're dead. They're gone. And the heart hurts. So what do? You have to tolerate. You have to practice toleration when it gets hot, when it gets cold, when there's something you didn't get what you want. You didn't get it the way you wanted it. Tolerate. So tolerate like a tree, and also be accommodating like a tree. And then giving all respect to others, but don't expect anything in return. These are all practices. And Kaviraj Goswami says in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that this should be put on a garland and worn around the neck. So what do? You got to make it go to the handicraft store and get yourself some string. I mean, no one's going to do it for you. You got to do this yourself. This is a home project. You go home, stop on the way home at the handicraft store and get yourself some string, some nice string, and you go home and you take these four jewels and you string them on the string. And you tie it up or put a clasp or whatever you want to do, and then put it around your own neck. You have to do it. And if you do that and you wear that all the time, wearing it means that you're always conscious of it. These four things: humble, tolerant, always giving respect, I don't need anything back. If you do those four things, then as a practice, and tell me again your specific question.
No, that was it. It was just like, I guess I was looking for practical ways to actually practice that.
Cause that's practical.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you can practice it. Yeah. And it's meant to, and it comes, that verse comes right after Durdaiva Midrushami Hajani Nanuragaha, which means Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying, the holy name's got everything in it. It's Krishna's in it. He is the holy name. He's got all his powers there. It's perfect. It's beautiful. I can't do it. I'm unfortunate. Durdaivam. I'm cursed, basically he's saying. So now what do? Trinadapi Sunichena. Wear this garland around your neck. And if you do that, you'll get everything. You'll hear Krishna speaking from every direction. He's always talking to us. And the environment's talking to us too. The sunrise is a big deal, but I miss it. I'm too absorbed in my own little, world that I'm of the mind. I don't see the sun globe coming up in the morning and talking to me, that I'm talking to everyone saying, I'm taking away your life. Ayurharati vaipum sun. The sun is speaking. If you hear it, so your life is being taken away. But I'm too busy. Too busy to hear it. And, you know, those who are open, like the Avanti Brahman, he was the Avadhuta Brahman. He was open to all the gurus in nature. He saw a guru everywhere he looked, a lesson to learn. In every movement of nature, he felt a God speaking to him in a clear voice and giving him a specific lesson that he could take himself. So this is also, you know, our appreciating capacity. When we're humble, practice humility, then you can get everything. Yeah.
How should one, what is the most important thing to have the intent, the fire of that intent grow every day? It appears that when you interact with so many things, sometimes you...
One thing is to read the scripture, chant a chapter of Bhagavad Gita every day and listen to it very carefully. Bhagavad Gita is such a powerful scripture. It was personally spoken by Krishna, and it's spoken for us, actually, speaking directly to us. So you can't get any better than that. Krishna is speaking directly to us, and it clarifies the intelligence, if you read Bhagavad Gita. And in the Gita, Krishna says you have to conquer the lower self by the higher self. And when you read Bhagavad Gita, you study the conversation between Krishna and Arjuna. You make that your study. Cram Bhagavad Gita. Anybody ever hear cram for college or high school? Raise your hand if you ever crammed before. What'd you do?
Stay up all night.
Okay, so do that with the Bhagavad Gita. Why not stay up all night and read Gita? I mean, the first time you read it, you probably stayed up all night and said, wow, this is it, right? So make that your life and soul, the Bhagavad Gita, and apply what's in there. And it clarifies the intelligence. You know what to do and what not to do. And then the higher self can conquer the lower self. And then your intention becomes purified. Purified intention is what you need. Because when my intelligence is contaminated, then my intention becomes distorted. Like, why do you want to do that? Because I'm crazy. People do crazy stuff all the time. Why'd you do that? I'm nuts. My intelligence is contaminated. So once the intelligence is purified, you know what the right thing is. I mean, the Shastra is saying all these things. Anyarevuhur vidyaya, anyarahura vidyaya, iti shushumatiranam yenas tadvichakshe. One result is obtained by studying transcendental knowledge. A completely different result is obtained from studying knowledge, which is not actually knowledge, so-called knowledge, is nescience. And then anyarevuhur sambhavad, anyarahura sambhavad. One result is obtained by worshipping the supreme cause of all causes. A completely different result comes from worshipping that which is not supreme. All this was heard from the undisturbed authorities who clearly explained it. So we can clarify our intelligence and then discriminate properly. And then our intention becomes more fixed. Siddhanta bolya chitanakara alash. Kaviraj Goswami says in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, when you know Siddhanta, Siddhanta means to understand the philosophy of Dharma and Krishna consciousness very, very precisely and clearly with your intelligence. And that means you know not only what it is, you also know what it isn't. That's how clear it has to be. And when you have that, then your intention becomes strong. Siddhanta balya chitta na kara alash. Therefore he says, don't be lazy about it. Iha hoite Krishna lagi sudrid manash. If you study Siddhanta carefully, which he says, you should just... you should discuss these things. Like we're having this discussion. This is the perfect way to develop your intention. And if you do this regularly, you come together with those who are more advanced than yourself, and you discuss Shastra thoroughly threadbare. Prabhupada used this terminology. Thoroughly threadbare. Discuss these points about Krishna consciousness. Like, how do you know Krishna is God? And that's an important topic, isn't it? If you're going to worship somebody, it's like, how do you know he's God? If you know, do or don't know, you know, if you're thinking, well, maybe he is, maybe he isn't, your intentions is going to be very strong. But if you become more and more convinced by discussing the philosophy of Krishna consciousness thoroughly threadbare, then you say, he is God, and that's what moves you. This is Shraddha. Faith is active. Shraddha, Shabde, Vishash, Kohe, Suridhanish, Joy, Krishna, Bhakti, Koile, Sarva, Karma, Krita, Hoy. The word faith, Shraddha, means, Shraddha means heart, and Da means where you place something. So Shraddha means where you place your heart, what your intention is in life. And if you're very clear that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and there's nothing left to see in this material world, nothing here for me, what are you going to do? I mean, what is your career choice in life when you decide there's nothing left for me here in the material world? What's your career choice? I'm going to work hard. I can make a lot of money in the material world. Why? There's nothing here for me. I mean, if that's it, if you decide that everything's there for me in spiritual life, then you'll start to transfer your energies over in that direction. Not that you can drop everything all at once, not even recommend it, but your intention starts to go in that way, and your attention will follow, and then all your activities will go. That's Shraddha. It means where you place your heart. You vote with your feet. You may say so many things, but where you show up and how you show up, that's where your heart is. Because the heart is driving the chariot of the body. There's no other way to prove your faith. Well, there it is.
Got a little bit more kirtan.
Yeah.
And just before, I was going in and out, but of course I wanted to introduce Vaisheshika Prabhu and his wife Nirkula Devi. They live in Burlingame, California. And you've all heard of the Murdanga drum. Vaisheshika Prabhu plays so nicely, and you're here every week. So in our line, one of our great spiritual teachers, the teacher of Srila Prabhupada, he coined this word, which is called Brihad Murdanga. Brihad means great. So the great drum. And he linked that with the printing press. That the printing press was like a great drum, because a drum you can hear 1, 2. If you've got 10 of them, you can maybe hear 3, 4 blocks away, as you will tomorrow night. But the printing press you can hear across the seas, meaning that in the form of sacred literatures, that sound, that great drum, can be heard. So he took so much appreciation, and he had such a vision to see that this drum beat has to keep going. And so Vaisheshika Prabhu has been such a powerful instrument in fulfilling this vision of our line of spiritual teachers. And he's dedicated his life to seeing that these sacred literatures, not just him distributing, but inspiring others and educating others how to learn this drum beat and how to teach others and allow others to hear this drum beat, both by studying these sacred writings and making that beat available for others. So we're very grateful for his association. And whenever we go to California, it's like going to the spiritual realm in their little abode, you call this cooking and mother-like affection. And this Saturday, actually, in the morning, a little bit after breakfast, if you're interested, we'll be giving some talk about book distribution. So if you're just interested in hearing what this is about this great... If you like this Murdanga, then you can come and hear what the greater Murdanga is all about. And then also tomorrow morning, Saturday morning, and Sunday morning, we'll be giving a seminar along the theme of Yoga of the Tongue. And he'll be referencing various verses from the Srimad Bhagavatam and the scriptures that relate to this topic. And then in the evening tomorrow, we'll go downtown and we'll have Harinam. We'll take this kirtan up. And before that, at 5 o'clock, we'll give a talk. And then after the talk at 6:30, we'll take it downtown. But yes, the next 3 mornings from about 8 to 9, 8 to 9:30, we'll be having a... this seminar class at the temple, so all are welcome. Can you close this a little kirtan?
Okay. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, time to go out on the street to chant and to distribute some books to other people. That's one of the most uplifting of all experiences, because you get immediate feedback from your environment and from the people. And you see in so many cases how when people hear the sound vibration of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, they become electrified and spiritualized. And because of that reflection, it reminds us how powerful it is when we see the effect on other people. So it's one of the reasons we go out to distribute it, is for our own purification. It increases our own experience. That's one of the best reasons to come out. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Bancha.